Lord, this morning, we just pray that you would open our hearts to receive all that you would have for us. Lord, where our hearts have grown cold and hard, we pray that you would give us hearts that are just able to receive all that you would have for us today. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are about to have an election on Tuesday. So I just wanted to make sure you're paying attention. Yes. You already know because you've already voted probably. But we're about ready to have an election, and there's a lot of anxiety in the air, isn't there? There's a lot of anxiety, and I don't think we've ever had an election like this before. And stores are actually beginning to board up their windows just in case there are protests. It's a strange time, isn't it? So in times of anxiety like this one, in times of discomfort, where do you turn in Scripture for comfort? You know, what passage do you turn to find solace at this time? And I bet if I were to take a poll in here, I bet a number of you would say Psalm 23, wouldn't you? You know, there's just something about that psalm. It's an incredibly beloved psalm that we keep going to over and over and over again. You know, what is it that makes this psalm, Psalm 23, such an enduring psalm for us? You know, it might be just who the author was. I mean, King David. King David is the author of this psalm, and we know that he worked as a shepherd. And as he was tending his sheep, the Lord taught him all kinds of lessons about the relationship he has with him. Or maybe it's just the incredible imagery of the psalm, because there's amazing images that we keep with us. Green pasture and still waters amongst the shadow of death. I mean, that's something that draws us to that psalm as well. But perhaps, if anything, you know, for us Christians, the popularity of that psalm has to really deal with the image of Jesus that we see in this psalm. Because Jesus, you'll recall, at the very end of the Gospel of John, says that, you know, we are his sheep and we are his lambs. And then he says in John chapter 10 that he is the good shepherd. And so when we read this psalm, we can't help but see Jesus, can we? Well, whatever the reason for the popularity, Psalm 23 provides just an incredible resource for the people of God that we can go back to over and over again. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be actually delving into this psalm. We're going to be finding and discovering some of the great truths of this psalm, those things that make us maybe unconsciously keep going to back to it over and over again. So I just want to invite you to open your Bibles today to Psalm 23 as we discover more about the relationship between God as the good shepherd and his sheep. So Psalm 23, I'm sure you all know where that is, so I'm not even going to give you any hints today, because it's probably a place in your Bible that you open up to a lot. Now, before we delve into this, let's just look a little bit at the structure of this psalm. And there are a couple of ways of looking at the structure of this. And one way is to consider how the Lord is addressed. So if you look at verses 1 and 2, the Lord is addressed in the third person, he. And then if you look after this, beginning at verse 3, he's addressed as you, second person. And so there's almost this sense that as you're reading this psalm, that you're going deeper and deeper into the relationship with the Lord. You know, that relationship becomes more and more intimate, as the nature of our relationship does. You know, as we spend more time with the Lord, that relationship deepens. Or another way to see this psalm is by the metaphors that are used to describe the Lord. So in verses 1 through 4, he is a shepherd. But then in verse 5, that metaphor changes, and he's now a generous host and giver of hospitality in his own home. And so, if we look at this psalm at the very beginning, we have this great, incredible affirmation. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, shepherds were one of the most common professions that were found in the Bible. And we see it over and over again from the very beginning of Scripture almost to the end. So among the patriarchs, we have Abraham and Jacob, who were both shepherds. And then among the prophets, Moses, King David, and Amos, who was a shepherd in the rugged territory of Tekoa. And then in the New Testament, who are the first people to receive the good news about Jesus? It's the shepherds, right? The shepherds. But in Psalm 23, we have something different. The Lord himself is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. Now, what an incredible statement that is. I mean, think of this. So the Lord of the universe, the one who created this earth, who created the stars, the planets, you know, everything in them, all that we see, he is our shepherd. The Lord, who is bigger and mightier than anything that we could possibly conceive because our minds are too small to conceive it. The Lord, who is omnipotent, all-powerful, is a God who is knowable and nearby like a shepherd is. David Roseberry reminds us of this in that devotional that I hope you got this week, When the Lord is My Shepherd. And he writes, "The cornerstone of the Christian faith is the belief God is seen and honored as both beyond us and beside us. The God of Psalm 23 is this great God of glory who stands by near us to protect us day by day. He is a personal God. He is knowable. He's not just some cosmic power that we have no idea who he is. We can actually know God. Once we grasp that the Lord is our shepherd, then we begin to understand better who we are and the nature of our relationship with God. So if the Lord is the shepherd, what does that mean about us? We're the sheep, right? It means that we're his sheep. Now, sheep are interesting animals. So they were domesticated around 9,000 BC, so a lot of years ago. And they were used for their wool, for meat, for milk. You know, they were very important for early man. And for some reason, though, today they have this reputation for being really stupid creatures. They're defenseless. They just kind of mope around on the hillside, you know, not doing very much. And it's not a very good metaphor for human beings, is it? If that's what we are. But in reality, interestingly enough, they've actually done a lot of studies on sheep. And sheep are surprisingly intelligent. You know, they have an impressive memory and recognition skills. They build friendships and they stick up for one another if they start fighting. And they feel sad if one of their own is sent into slaughter. And so in these ways, these relational ways, they're very much like human beings, aren't they? In spite of this, domesticated sheep need a shepherd in order to truly thrive. I mean, they can exist for a while on their own, but to thrive, they need a shepherd. Left unattended, unshepherded, they will be, unsheared. Their wool will grow so heavy that it will begin to accumulate dirt and irritating parasites. They'll become heavily infected by internal worms that can stunt their growth and risk their survival. Their uncared for feet may become infected, and their hooves can go so long that they're not able to walk after a while. And so the weak ewes may not even have enough milk to be able to keep their little lambs alive. And so Psalm 23 insists that the people of God have a similar dependence upon him the way that sheep do a shepherd. So this psalm is actually spoken through the voice of a lamb or a sheep. A sheep is speaking in the psalm. And that's the voice. And that voice declares complete dependence and trust on the shepherd. And so that puts sheep, if you think about it, into a really vulnerable position. It means they are completely dependent on their shepherd for their survival. So in the history of Israel, the leaders of the people proved themselves to be unfit shepherds. In fact, it was the failure of the kings and the priests to exercise protective care over the people that the sheep were eventually led into captivity in Babylon. Now, in response, Psalm 23 declares that the Lord is my shepherd. And this is not a unique idea, actually. It's actually found elsewhere in Scripture. In the writings of Ezekiel, we find the Lord declaring himself to be a shepherd over his people. And if you have your Bibles in front of you, if you want to turn to Ezekiel 34, we're going to find another place that actually, as we read it, it sounds a lot like Psalm 23. So Ezekiel 34, and I'm going to begin at verse 12. And the Lord says, this is the Lord speaking, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. And now go to verse 14. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. And I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. Isn't that amazing? It just parallels Psalm 23 so much. Because I think the Lord really wants us to understand that this is an important kind of relationship that we have with him. You know, we are the sheep, and he is our shepherd. Now, if the Lord is our shepherd, then the Lord looks after us the way a shepherd looks after his sheep. Psalm 23 mentions four characteristics of the shepherd's care for his sheep. And I just want to quickly go through these because I think it's important for us to understand the nature of that care. First, the Lord knows his sheep. You know, a single flock can have 10 animals, or it could actually have hundreds of animals. But no matter the size, the shepherd knows each one of his sheep. By saying, the Lord is my shepherd, the voice of this sheep is declaring something intimate and something personal. You know, think about how this statement must have shook the readers of much of the Old Testament, the Israelites. You know, they were used to hearing about a communal God. And so in Deuteronomy 6, for instance, the Israelites declared, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Not really understanding that the Lord is also a personal God that we can know individually. Jesus will reinforce that intimate relationship between God and his people when he declares in Luke chapter 12 that even the hairs on our head are known by him. So when the Lord is your shepherd, he knows you. He knows you. He knows you utterly, totally, and completely. Nothing is hidden from him. Second, the shepherd leads his flock. And so the sheep in this psalm declares, he leads me beside still waters. So God's nature is to lead. He leads us. And a shepherd knows exactly where the best grazing lands are, and he leads his sheep to those places. So King David, who wrote this psalm, knew that the Lord had guided him down paths of uprightness during his kingship and enabled him to win battles as he was entrusted to gain more and more land for the nation of Israel. The Lord is not a reluctant leader. But we are often reluctant followers, aren't we? Our loyalty is often uncertain. We can be hesitant or tentative. And like sheep, we can wander from the fold. But the nature of the shepherd is to seek the sheep that are lost. The remarkable arithmetic of Jesus' parable is that the good shepherd will leave the 99 to share his love with the one. So what kind of shepherd would allow his flock to go in search of food on their own, only to be killed along the way? Not a very good one, right? the Lord delights in leading us to green pastures. He delights in that. That's what he yearns to do for us. Just as he told the Israelites who were in exile, the very ones that had rejected him, the very ones that had rebelled against him, in Jeremiah 29, he says, "For I know the plans." So think about this. This is the rebellious Israelites. He says to them, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So when the Lord is our shepherd, he leads us. And he leads us to green pastures, not to a cliff where we can fall off. Third, the shepherd restores his flock. As the sheep's voice declares, "He restores my soul." You know, King David knew he needed the renewing power of God. From a shepherd boy, he had risen to become king of Israel. He had it all. But you know, what happens sometimes when we have it all? When everything is going well in our lives? You know, we think we can do whatever we want. We think we can have whatever we want. Great was the fall of David when Nathan confronted him about his sin. "God restores my soul," David said. "God picks me up when I've fallen. He lifts me up when the load is heavy. In my weakness, God comes with his renewing, omnipotent power." You know, the church needs the message of renewal at all times. But it particularly needs that message this year, doesn't it? John Wesley once wrote to a minister friend of his who was struggling with his call. He said, "You look inward too much and upward too little." You know, so you and I, and we are the church, you know, we need to look in, we need to look out, we need to look everywhere for our needs and the needs of the world around us. But mostly we need to be looking upward. We need to be looking upward to the Lord. When the Lord is shepherd, our shepherd, he restores our souls. And fourth, the shepherd comforts us. So the sheep's voice cries out, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know, the rod and the staff was actually a single instrument with three major applications. First, to fight off animals. So there are all kinds of animals that could threaten the flock. Lions and leopards, bears, hyenas, and wolves. And they could easily take prey of this. And so the staff was used to send them away. Second, the crook part, that's the rounded part of the staff, was used to gently seize a sheep by its legs or neck to add them back to the flock if they had wandered off. And third, it was used actually to pull the wool away so that you could actually see the skin of the sheep to see if there were any rashes or wounds or defects. And similarly, the Lord comforts us when we are injured, when we're harmed, when we're threatened. You know, this past week, we all woke up to dark orange skies on Monday morning. They were blustering winds that brought all kinds of smoke, and you couldn't even go outside because it was impossible to breathe. And some of you were forced to evacuate from your homes. And Julie and I and Simeon were on the verge of evacuating as well. The Silverado fire just added more anxiety, you know, more uncertainty to what has really been a very difficult year for us. But for those of us who know the Lord, when the Lord is your shepherd, we find comfort even in the most trying of times. He doesn't remove the danger, but he always reassures us with his constant presence, not to abandon us or forsake us. Indeed, in John 10, the good shepherd even lays down his life for his sheep, which Christ did for us when he took upon himself the sins of the world in his crucifixion. You know, this metaphor of the Lord being shepherd over his sheep was such an important belief for the ancient Israelites. It was so important, in fact, that it actually became part of their worship, became part of their liturgical worship. So if you look at Psalm 95, for instance, the Israelites gladly identified themselves as sheep. Let me just read a bit of that psalm. It says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." You know, it's in worship, when we come together to worship as we have today, that we discover the safety, security, and well-being, that these are all gifts of God. Because worship reveals to us that nothing is lacking for the community that trusts in the Good Shepherd. But this year, so many of us have felt isolated and disconnected. We were created for deep and intimate relationship. You know, and this has been lacking in our lives, hasn't it? You know, Zoom just is not the same. It's not the same as being with somebody face to face. Even now, as I look across this room, I only, you know, it's like there's this barrier between us with these masks. We've not been able to worship, and we've not been able to fellowship together as one family. And that's taken a toll on us, both emotionally and spiritually. We've wearied of that. But I want to invite you right now, just into a short time of prayer, just right now. You know, on this All Saints Day, that we would just come before the Lord and just reconnect our lives to the Shepherd. To be able to reconnect ourselves to this flock that we're a part of. You know, we as sheep need each other more than ever. So let's just pray. Let's just invite the Lord to come and be present with us right now. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, we are your sheep, and we need you as much as sheep need a shepherd to thrive in this world. We are lost without you. And this time in our lives, this year, has been incredibly disconcerting to us. Lord, we give up control. And we ask that you would take the lead in our lives. I am your sheep, and I need you to be my shepherd. Lead me in your way. I recommit my life to you, and I recommit my life to serve you as a member of this flock at St. James. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.